Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Aleph. Today's daf is going to discuss a couple of interesting topics. In the Mishnah, we said that you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos with only one shoe on. We transitioned from that which a woman is not allowed to go out with to that which a man is not allowed to go out with. And one of the things we said a man is not allowed to go out with is wearing one shoe on Shabbos. But the Gemara discusses a bunch of different circumstances where it may be permissible to go out with one shoe. And then the Gemara gets into a lot of halachos or a couple of halachos relating to shoes and how to put on shoes, how to take off shoes, the halachically proper way for a person to get dressed. Then we go into the scope of the Isser to go out on Shabbos while wearing tefillin. And then the Gemara is going to discuss cameos for the entire Amud Beis, the various types of cameos, what it takes for a cameo to become a cameo mumcha on Shabbos. So we're holding on the bottom line of the Samach Amud Beis, v'lo b'yachid b'zman shein b'rag l'mako. A person is not allowed to walk out with only one shoe on unless he has an injury on his foot. If he has no injury on his foot, he's not allowed to go out with a single shoe. So we saw already in the Mishnah that Rashi writes two reasons why he's not allowed to go out with one shoe when he doesn't have a makkah. So one reason in the name of Yerushalmi, he says, because people are going to assume that if he's only wearing one shoe on his foot, then the shoe from the other foot he's probably carrying, he's hiding somewhere, and that's why it's a chashad issue, a maris ayin issue, that people are going to think he's carrying the other shoe. And then Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim that no, the concern is that people are going to laugh at him, that he's only wearing one shoe, he looks ridiculous, and because he's going to feel bad that he's getting laughed at, he may remove the shoe that he's wearing and end up carrying the shoe that he's wearing, so it's necessary that he might come to carry it. So says the Gemara on the top, Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Hayesh Baraglo Maka Nafik, but the implication is that if he has some sort of injury on his foot, then it's okay, then he's allowed to go out wearing one shoe. Well, Behemi Nayu Nafik, how exactly does this work? If a person has an injury, so then it's normal to wear one shoe on which foot? On the foot that has the injury or on the foot that doesn't have the injury? So Amar Rav Huna, two opinions. Amar Rav Huna ba'osa shiyesh ba'maka, that normally you would wear the shoe on the foot that does have the injury. Alma kasavar sandal shum tsaravid, because a sandal is there primarily to protect from tsar. As Rashi writes, shal yingof b'yisedos hadrachim, that the sandal, the shoe is there to protect from getting hurt by the whatever you might step on in the road, v'yitztar, it's going to cause pain. Hilchach kisharona sotzoleya v'yodin sheish bragel v'maka ein choshtino sotzotoyin es hasheni v'yado elamakirim balafi maisav shepar sosav kashos v'eno mitztar b'yisedos hadrachim. When people see that he has some sort of injury, no one's going to think that he's carrying the other shoe. Again, within the sheet of the Yerushalmi, that the concern is people are going to think he's carrying it. No one's going to think he's carrying the other shoe. People are going to realize that, typically speaking, he's just not bothered by the hard roads, but he's only wearing a shoe. He's only wearing a shoe because he's hurt. And therefore, he suffices with one shoe, and that's why no one's going to suspect him of carrying the second shoe. What about according to the other shita, that the reason he's not allowed to wear one shoe is that people are going to mock him? So says Rashi, L'loshon Rabosai, Inami Machu Allah, D'lochazel L'makah, Lo Shalafla, within that other possibility, you could say that even though normally if a person is only wearing one shoe and people start laughing at him, he might come to remove the shoe. But if a person is only wearing one shoe because he's hurt, he's injured, and he needs that shoe to protect his injury, laugh all you want. I'm not taking off my shoe that's gonna further aggravate my injury. So we have no concern, even if people do laugh at him and they do mock him, we have no concern that he's actually going to remove the shoe if he has a makkah. So that's the first opinion, that he wears the shoe on the foot that has the makkah, and the shoe is there primarily for tsar. No, he wears the shoe on the foot that does not have the makkah. That a shoe primarily serves the purpose of giving an extra enjoyment and extra protection to the foot, but it's not for to protect from tsar, it just makes the foot feel better. So the point is that if you look at Rashi, from Tainu Gavir, Adam Istinus, Verach, Umakirin Mitoch Maisov, Shenal Nalo Achas, Shu Istinus, people will see from the fact that he's wearing this one shoe that he's a nistanis. Vizuma kasumu chachala umavinim shamako manato milinol, and they're going to see the other foot is all swollen. The other foot has some sort of cast on it, and they're going to realize he's not wearing the shoe on the other foot because he can't. V'lo chashtile, so no one's going to be choshed that he's carrying the other shoe. No one's going to laugh at him that he's not wearing the other shoe. He's hurt on the other foot. He's not able to wear the other shoe. That's the point, says the Gemara, that the foot that has the makkah, this fellow that has the makkah, everyone will realize that there's nothing to be choshed him, there's nothing to laugh at him about. He simply has a makkah. Va'af Rabbi Yochanan savala lahad Rav Huna. And the Gemara says it seems that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Huna, that you wear the shoe on the foot that's injured. Da'amale Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shimon bar Abba havli masna'i, because Rabbi Yochanan once said to Rav Shimon bar Abba, give me my shoe. So yavle diyamin, and Rav Shimon bar Abba gave him his right shoe first. Samalei asiso maka. So he said, you're treating me like an injured person by giving me my right shoe first. So what does that mean, and how does that prove that he holds like Rav Huna, that you wear the shoe on the foot that does have the makkah? Says Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle da hanoel sandalim noel shel smol tchila. Very important piece of information. That we have to be assuming over here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that when you put on shoes, you have to put on your left shoe first and then your right shoe. So v'kasalka daitoch tachli kamerle. So we're assuming this is what Rabbi Yochanan was telling him. You gave me my right shoe first. Im kein. If I put on this right shoe first, I'm not going to be able to put on my left shoe afterwards, because you have to put on the left shoe before the right shoe. So if I put on the right shoe first, I'm not going to be allowed to put on the left shoe. So I'm going to end up walking out with only one shoe. And therefore, everyone's going to think that my right foot is injured. But the bottom line is, you see that Rabbi Yochanan apparently holds that the foot that's injured is the one that gets the shoe. That's why he's worried people are going to think that his right foot is injured, because he's going to end up wearing only one shoe on his right foot. Says Gemara, how does that prove that he holds like Rav Huna? Maybe he really holds like Rav Chiya bar Rav, that you put on the shoe on the non-injured foot. Vachikamar asisa shel smol maka. And what Rabbi Yochanan was saying is, you gave me my right shoe first, which means I'm only going to be able to wear my right shoe, and therefore people are going to think I'm injured. Not on my right foot, people are going to think I'm injured on my left foot, because that's the foot that doesn't have a shoe. So that's not a raya which way Rabbi Yochanan holds in terms of which foot, whether the injured foot gets the shoe or not. But v'az Rabbi Yochanan tameh, what we do see over here is that this is Rabbi Yochanan shitaso, that clearly from this story you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you need to put on the left shoe first, because he got upset when he was handed the right shoe first, and he said, this is going to end up with me walking out with only one shoe on. So you see clearly that he does hold that you have to put the left shoe on first. Where do we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that? Rabbi Yochanan kitfilin, Rabbi kach menalin. Rabbi Yochanan holds that shoes are just like tefillin in terms of the halachas of putting it on. Matfilin b'smol, af menalin b'smol. Just like tefillin, we give extra chashivos to the left side, so too by shoes, there's extra chashivos to the left side, we put on the left shoe first. Meis ve'as, the Gemara k'shu nol, nol shal yimin v'archach, nol shal smol. We have a braisa that says the exact opposite. It says that when you put on your shoes, you're supposed to put on your right shoe first, not your left shoe first. Amar Rav Yosef hashta d'tanya hachi, v'amar Rav Yochanan hachi. Well, once we have a brisa that says to put the right shoe on first, and Rav Yochanan says to put the left shoe on first, da'avid hachi avid u da'avid hachi avid. So you could choose whichever practice you like better, whichever minag works best for you. But there's no preference to follow the brisa or to follow Rav Yochanan. If you look at Tosos writes on the top, Pirush de brisa lo pliga Rav Yochanan v'lo Rav Yochanan brisa, meaning they're not really arguing. V'achi pirushu kitfilin afal even though generally speaking we find that the right always takes precedence, the bow and yad and the bow and regal by a mitzora and chalitza, yachul linol shel smol tchila, still says Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to, not have to, allowed to put on your left shoe first. And the Bryce is coming to tell me the avgav the small chashuva letfilin yachol linol shel yamin tchila. When the Bryce says that you put on your right shoe first, it's not saying you have to. It's saying that even though you might think the left is more chashuv, because when it comes to tefillin, left is more chashuv, still you're allowed to put on your right shoe first. So they're not arguing either. Each one is just saying that it's, you might have thought it's not okay to do what I'm telling you to do. Kamashmon, it's also okay. Frank tells us, but wait a second, that doesn't fit with the whole story. Vim Tomerim Kena May Hikpid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shemesh Nasan Al Shal Yamin Kibidi Yachal Linol Ezashir Tetchila. Well, then why was Rabbi Yochanan getting upset when he was handed his right shoe first? If Rabbi Yochanan and the Brisa, everybody holds, you can put on whichever one you want first. So what was he getting worried about? Vinir Lari Dachi Perusha. So the Ri says, now this is Pshat. David Hachiyavid Misha Rotza the Chaviv Shal Smol Misha Mitzvah Tfilin Harashos Piyado. Umisha Rotza the Chaviv Shal Yamin Yosim. Rabbi Yochanan Yidarko Lechaviv Kol Shah Shal Smol Yosef Rav Shem Baraba Lo Yodem In Hago. That the point is that yes, you can choose whichever minhag you want, but you have to choose a minhag. And when you choose one minhag, you have to show that we're not doing things in just a meaningless fashion, in a random fashion that you put on this shoe, that shoe. No, everything has to have meaning. It has to have purpose. There has to be some symbolism to it. So you can choose the symbolism of the left, which is the chashivas of tefillin. Or you could choose the symbolism of the right, which is the chashivas of everything else, of chalitza and everything else. Rabbi Yochanan was one who chose the symbolism of tefillin to be to put on the left side first. Rav Shem Baraba had no idea. He didn't know that was Rabbi Yochanan's minhag. But that's why Rabbi Yochanan got upset. A couple of interesting things that emerge from this Gemara. First of all, what emerges from certainly the way Rashi explains the Gemara, seems to be the Pasha reading of the Gemara, is that Rabbi Yochanan says that if he puts on his right shoe first, he will not be able to wear his left shoe. Why not? Because you got to put the left on first. So that's a little bit of a leap, meaning it could be that there is a din l'chadchila that you got to put the left on first. Does that mean just because you put the right on first that you're not allowed to wear your left shoe at that point? So the Rome Sada, the Netziv in Rome Sada, makes his diuk, and he points out that maybe if Rashi holds this way, he would hold this way by any din of kedima. Wherever we say you're supposed to do one thing before the other, what about where does kedima come up most prominently in halacha? In Hilchas Brachas, we say by Dine Brachas, you make a barim in a mizonos before you make a shakel. Let's say you have two foods in front of you. You have a mizonos food and a shakel food. And you said the shakel first. So it would turn out, according to Rashi, you can't eat the mizonos food. It's not that, you blew it, now you'll make a mizonos. Can't eat the mizonos food, according to Rashi. That's how the Merom Yisrael suggests. That which you're required to do first, if you didn't do it first, you can't do it at all. And that's how he explains Rashi in Maseches Yuma, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. That Rashi says, the Gemara says, Avori Dara Totafta Asur. Rashi says that you're not allowed to put tefillin shel rosh before the shel yad, because Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos. That if you put on tefillin shel rosh first, it's going to be a problem, because of Ein Mavirin al Mitzvos. And the way Rashi seems to be explaining is that even b'di'evit, if you put on your shel rosh first, you're not allowed to put on your shel yad until you take off your shel rosh, that you shouldn't even be near it, k'mavir al mitzvos, that it shouldn't even look like you're being mavir al mitzvos. So it seems that Rashi has this idea in many places, that if you, when you have in a couple of places, when you have this din of kedima, that if you're makdim the wrong thing, it makes it that you're not allowed to even do the other one. The other interesting note from this Gemara is that Rashi, Mesech Subas, and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, writes that Rav Shimon bar Abba was a Kohen, which raises the question of how Rabbi Yochanan was allowed to let Rav Shimon bar Abba get his shoes for him. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, where we discuss Birchas Kohanim. There's a halacha, you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'kohen. It's also l'shtamish b'kohen. It's Ferish in Ramah, in Kuf Chav Ches. You're not supposed to be mishtamish b'kohen. So the Taz says that the Torah says, v'kidashto, that you're supposed to do whatever is nichol and nafshe, whatever he likes. So it could be that based on that, it's all up to a Kohen, what he likes. And if the Kohen wants to be mochel, so he could certainly be mochel. And it's very likely that someone who has the opportunity to be mishamish tamal chacham like Rabbi Yochanan is more than willing to be mochel on his kavod for the sake of Rabbi Yochanan. There is an interesting discussion Rav Moshe has in a tshuva about giving kavod to Shevet Kahuna versus to an individual Kohen. He says that he's mechalik between the two. He says that when it comes to getting an aliyah in shul, let's say, so we have to decide as a community, so the community of Kohanim goes first, but an individual level, Talmidei Chachamim come first. If you have a choice, there are two people who need something. It's not that Shevet Kohuna needs something, or people in general need something, but you have two individuals who need something. One's a Talmid Chacham and one's a Kohen. So Rav Moshe says, then the Talmid Chacham definitely comes first. It's only when it's about the community that that you have to make a communal decision. I was thinking about this when with the hurricane. I was thinking of all the different shilas that would come up if all the issues were to be determined by halacha, like gas rationing. Would, instead of doctors coming first, or maybe in addition to doctors going first, maybe we would have Kohanim go first? So would you say Talmidei Chacham go first? So that would be, according to Rav Moshe Shita, that would be a communal thing. It wouldn't be on an individual thing, and therefore a Kohanim would go even before Talmidei Chachamim. Anyway, so there's a discussion how one is allowed to be Meshamish B'Kohen in this case. We find other places in Shas also that are Achronim that collect all the places in Shas where they were Meshamish B'Kohanim. The Gemara in Kuf Mem Zayin, Rav Yosef was Meshamish B'Abaye, and Abaye was a Kohen. There's a Rishon, Mordechai Meseches Gittin, says Rabbeinu Tam was Meshamish B'Kohen. So the bottom line is, it seems that there are a number of Heterim. Number one, that the Kohen is allowed to be Mochel. Second, Mishnah LeMelech writes in the name of the Smag that the Yisr is only Bechinam, but if the Kohen gets paid, so then it's not called being Meshamish B'Kohen. And Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Samach Tzas just says, yeah, and he could be Mochel the payment for sure, so you could do it for pay, and then he could certainly be Mochel the payment. There's one of the commentaries in Yerushalmi says that maybe when you're dealing with Kohanim or not Miuchasim, there wouldn't be a problem. And the Mishnah LeMelech learns from Metshuvah Sarivash that a Kohen Am Ha'aretz, maybe there's no Yisr. Maybe the only Yisr is when the Kohen's a Talmud Chacham, or at least not an Am Ha'aretz. So, okay, so the various Heterim. Amrle Abaye, so says Gemara Vayitin. Amrle Abaye, Dilma Rabbi Yochanan, Hamas Nisan Lavashmile. Wait a second, what did we just say? That Rabbi Yochanan goes not like the Braisa, so it must be that you have your choice of what to do in terms of which shoe you want to put on first. Rabbi Yochanan holds you got to put on the left shoe first, the Braisa holds you put on the right shoe first. If Rabbi Yochanan says differently than the Braisa, it must be you have your choice. Says Abaye, how do you know? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard of that Braisa. Vyavashmiele, Havahadabe. And maybe had he heard of that Braisa, he would have said what the Braisa said, and he would have changed his mind. Or maybe he heard of the Braisa, and he rejected the Braisa. How do you know just because Rabbi Yochanan says different than the Braisa, you could do whatever you want? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would have changed his mind had he known the Braisa, or maybe he did know the Braisa, and he told us not to paskin like this Braisa. Therefore, we should try to be Yotze both. Don't just choose one or the other. We should try to be Yotze both Shitos. Umanu Mar Bere Deravana. Who is this Yirei Shemayim who is Yotze both? Mar Bere Deravana. Now, how are Yotze both? You can only put on it. There's only one first. So, Heichi Yavid, what did he do? So, Siyem Diyamine Velo Katar, Siyem Dismale the Katar. He would put on his right shoe first and not tie it, and then put on his left shoe, then put on his left shoe and tie it, Vahada Katar Diyamine. And then he would tie his right shoe. So, he gave his right shoe precedence in terms of which one to put on first, and he gave his left shoe precedence in terms of which to tie first. So what do you do with slip-ons? How do you make this compromise? So says Tosfos, why Dafka did he choose this way, to tie the left shoe first? Because where does the chashivas of the left come from? It comes from tefillin. Tefillin is ukshartem. The whole chashivas of the left is a din in kshira. The chashivas of the right is putting something on. Chashivas of the left is din in kshira, says Tosfos. So lahaytami yesh lino shal yamin tchil b'menolim shein men kshira. So if you have slip-on shoes that don't have a kshira, so certainly the right side should go first, because the whole chashivas of the left is only a din in kshira. So it says, one more point over here. We said tefillin b'smol. Rashi over here points out, how do I know tefillin b'smol, that you put the tefillin on the left hand? That it says al yadcha, but it has a hey at the end of the word yadcha. Why does it have the hey? To teach us yad keha, that the weak hand, the hainu small, she keha linyan tashmish, that normally your left hand is weak for anything else that you want to do with it. So we see that you're supposed to put it on the yad keha, on the weak hand. It's a little bit out of place, it seems. Why would Rashi, first of all, in general, what's the dimyon? We say that shoes are like tefillin. Why are shoes like tefillin? In what way are shoes like tefillin? That just because you put your tefillin on your left, you should put your shoes on your left. So Tosfos gave a little bit of time to it because it's a din kshira, that anything that's a din kshira should be like tefillin. But it's still, it's a little bit of a strange tzushtal. And also, Rashi, quoting this Gemara Menachos of Yad Keya, why does Rashi quote this drasha of small by tefillin? First of all, not everyone agrees that that's where we learn that you put tefillin on the small. Others learn from the Gemara over there has a kshartan, that you're supposed to tie dafka with the right hand. So it's actually din l'chashivas of the right that you put the tefillin on the small, because if you're wearing tefillin on your right hand, you wouldn't be able to tie it with your right hand. You need the other hand to tie it. So it's a chashivas of the right hand. So it could be that what Rashi's trying to tell us is that the small is the weaker of the two hands. That's what we see from this drasha, and therefore the regal is also the weaker of the two feet. And that's why chalitzas b'yamin. That's why by the mitzora we do bowen yad and bowen regal is always on the yamin. It's always on the right hand side. And this may be what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Maybe Rashi's trying to make the point that Rabbi Yochanan holds that minel is l'shum tzaravid. So since it's l'shum tzaravid, since you would put it on, it's there to protect from tzar. It's more important to protect the weaker foot first. Maybe that's what he's explaining. Why Rabbi Yochanan holds you put it on the left side is not because of the chashivas of the left. It's because the whole reason you put tefillin on the left is yad keya, that shows you that the left is weaker. So you should put the shoe on the weaker foot because the shoe serves as a protection. Vayter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazin Rav Kahana de lo kapid. He says, I've noticed that Rav Kahana was never makbid one way or the other in terms of putting on his shoes. Tan Rabban, Kshu Noel, Noel shal yamin v'achach Noel shal smol, Kshu choleitz, choleitz shal smol v'achach choleitz shal yamin. When you put on your shoes, put your right shoe on first. When you take off the shoes, you take the left shoe off first, and then the right shoe. And Rashi says, why? Because zeu kvodo shal yamin. That's the proper honor to the right shoe by taking off the left shoe first, leaving it on the right shoe a little bit longer. That's what the poskim right Maram Bennett says. That's why by chalitzas tefillin we take off the shal rosh, because zeu kvodo shal yad. That's our way of being mechabed the shal yad by taking off the shal rosh first. And when you put down the lulav, we put down the lulav first and then the esrog, because that's the kavod of the esrog. What's interesting is that the Torah doesn't quote this halacha of removing the shoes. So the Beis Yosef wonders, why would the Torah skip it? And he says it must be that the Torah holds cholitz shel smol tchilas lav davka. That what we're saying is that when you put on your shoe, you need to be makbit to put on your right shoe before your left shoe. When you take off, you could have filu be cholitz shel smol, but it's not that it's halacha. You need to be cholitz shel smol. The Bach interprets differently. The Bach says that the Torah does hold you need to be cholitz shel smol, and he has some other reason why the Torah skips it. Okay, but it's not only with shoes, says the Gemara. Kshu rochet, when one bathes themselves, rochet shel yamin v'acharkach rochet shel smol. You have to wash your right, and then you wash your left. Kshu sach. Sach shall we do the Netil Sedayim, right? Kshu sach shall yamin v'achach sach shall smol. When you're anointing your body with oil, first put on the right side and then the left side. V'arot zalasuch kol gufo, if you can do your whole body, sach rosh utchilim, neshu melech al kol evarim. Then you start with the head, because the head is considered to be the melech of all the evarim. V'lo b'tfilin. So we said you're not allowed to walk outside with tefillin on Shabbos either. Amrav Safra Lote Ma Libudaman Yamar Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu. Don't think that that's only assuming like the Shita that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, and that's why Tefillin is a Masli, because it's not Zman Tefillin. Ela Tefillin Yamar Shabbos Zman Tefillin Hu Lo Yetze. Even if you hold Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, and that there is some sort of Kiyum Mitzvah of Tefillin on Shabbos, still you shouldn't walk out with Tefillin. Why? Dilma Asi Lasuya Berushos Rabim, because we're afraid you can end up carrying your Tefillin in the Rosh Hashanah. How so? So Rashi explains. explains, Shaklu Meresham Balifno Sumamti Ludal Ramos. Let's say you need to go to the bathroom, then you're going to come to take it off your head, and then once you're taking it off your head, you're going to come to carry it Dal Ramos. Asks the Tazan or Chaim Sum Reshon Base, isn't this a Gzera L'Gzera? Maybe you'll have to go to the bathroom, and if you have to go to the bathroom, so you're going to take it off, maybe you'll come to carry it Dal Ramos. So he says, no, maybe you'll have to go to the bathroom is not a Gzera. That's, that's Teva. So that's normal. That's just what happens. But the Gzera is that you might come to carry it Dal Ramos Perisho Sarabim. The Ika de Masin La Seifa. Some have it in connection with the Seifa. Vim Yatza Eino Chayiv Chatos. We said that if you go out with the Tefillin, you're not Chayiv Chatos. So we say it in the reverse. That Amar of Safra, Lo Teima Liba Demand Yamar Shabbos Man Tefillin Hu. Don't tell me that it's only if you hold like the Man Diyomer that Shabbos is Man Tefillin. That's why you're not Chayiv Chatos when you go out with it. El Afil Man Diyomer Shabbos loves Man Tefillin Hu. Eino Chayiv Chatos. Even if your Shabbos is not the Zman Tefillin, you're not Chayiv Chatos. My Taima. Derech Malbush Avida. Why are you not Chayiv Chatos? Because you're just wearing it Derech Malbush in the normal way that people would wear something. So you still wouldn't be Chayiv Chatos even if it's not the Zman Tefillin. The Maritz Chayis over here just points out this idea that Lo Teima Liba Deman Yamar Shabbos Zman Tefillin. Don't think that only if you hold Shabbos is the Zman Tefillin, that's why you're not Chayiv Chatos. Maritz Chayis points out this seems to be against the Rashi in Erev and Daf Tzadi Dalid, where Rashi holds that if Shabbos Zman Tefillin, that for sure it would be Usser to go out with on Shabbos. It would be a greater Isser, because then you're in violation of Bal Tosef. And the fact that you're in violation of Bal Tosef when you wear it, because you can only be in violation of Bal Tosef during the Zman of the Mitzvah, or around the Zman of the Mitzvah. It's not Bal Tosef, if it's not even the Zman of the Mitzvah. So Rashi says that if Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, then it's a violation of Bal Tosef, and therefore it becomes a Masa. So it would turn out that you for sure be chayiv a carbon chatas. So why don't we say that? He points out that it seems against our Gemara. Our Gemara assumes that if you hold Shabbos is zman tefillin, then there's more reason to assume you're not chayiv a carbon chatas. That's the ha'ara of the Maritz Chayis. Okay, back in the Gemara now. V'lo b'kameya b'zman sheinu min ha'mumcha. So he said you also can't go out with a kameya that's not an expert kameya. It's not a kameya proven to have worked. The whole rest of the daf is all about kameos. So, and what makes a kameo a mumcha? What makes a kameo some sort of amulet that they used to write special parshios on, or special words that had some sort of Kabbalistic meaning? That's a kameo of ksav, at least. We'll see there are other types of kameos also. And it was assumed to serve as some sort of therapy. It was assumed to have some sort of therapeutic value for different illnesses. So, Rav Papa, lo teima ad mumcha gavra mumcha kameo. Rav Papa says, in order to make it okay to walk out with the kameo on Shabbos, you don't need to prove that the writer of the kameya is an expert and that this kameya is proven to work. Even if the guy who wrote the kameya is an expert and this particular kameya has never been used before, has never been proven to work, that's still good enough. It's proven enough to be allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. What about the reverse? What if you had the mumcha kameya but not mumcha gavra? So it says Tosos, afagav lo mumcha kameya, near de kolshkein, mumcha kameya velo gavra. Certainly if the kameya was proven to work and not the guy who wrote it, shem chas kameya adifa meyam chas harofei. Because certainly the proven effectiveness of the kameya is better, is stronger than the proven effectiveness of the doctor who's writing it. Kudimuch kaman, de bam chas kameya pshita le de in mechi, afilu bechad gavra. Ubit mechi gavra, we're going to see on Amud Beis how the Gemara clearly is going to make that assumption that the proven effectiveness of the Kameya is of greater value to us than the proven effectiveness of the person who writes the Kameya, or the proven expertise of the person who writes the Kameya. Back in the Gemara, Dekan Nami, Dekatani, V'lo b'Kameya b'zman she'enu min ha'mumcha. It says you can't use a Kameya when it's not min ha'mumcha. V'lo katani b'zman she'enu mumcha. It doesn't say you can't use a Kameya if it's not a proven effective Kameya. It says b'zman she'enu min ha'mumcha, that it doesn't come from a person who's not a mumcha. So shema mina. So we see from there that as long as the gavra is a mumcha, that's good enough, even if the kameya is not a mumcha. Tan rabbanan, ezu kameya mumcha. So what makes a kameya a mumcha? Kol sharipa vishana vishilish. Anytime it's been used 3 times and it worked all 3 times, it's a chazaka, such a kameya is a kameya mumcha. It doesn't matter whether it's a written kameya or a kameya made out of ikrin, which is various roots and herbs that they would make a kameya out of. It wouldn't matter. The Meiri just raises the question, wait a second, kameya shel ikrin, there should be another problem. Kameya shel ksav, you know that you can't do it yourself. You know that you need someone who's an expert to write. You're just going to write gibberish. It's not going to mean anything. Kameya shel ikrin sounds like it's a medicine. Sounds like it's not just some sort of skula. Sounds like it's a medicine. So shouldn't we have the concern with medication that gzerim mishum shchika sammanin, that if you're going to use that type of medication on Shabbos, that you're going to come to grind up the herbs yourself? That's the reason why you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Gzerim mishum shchika sammanin. So says the Meiri, what you see from here is that even the kamei shel ikrin is a skula refuah. It's not a refuah b'derech hateva. And therefore, just like the refuah of a kameya al yidei ksav is clearly works b'derech skula, so too the kameya shel ikrin has to be working b'derech skula, otherwise we would have made some sort of gzeira mishum shchikas sammanim. So weiter in the brisa now, and not only does this halacha apply to both types of kameos, echad chola sheyesh b'sakana v'echad chola shein b'sakana. The halacha is true of any type of chola, whether it's someone who's dangerously ill or not. Lo shenichbe, ela shelo yichbe. Not someone who, let's say, had epilepsy, nichbez epilepsy, ela shelo yichbe. Let's say it's just a person who wants to avoid it. I mean, it's not, even if it's not therapeutic to treat something that he's had, but as Rashi says, shabami mishpachla nichbin v'doig shelo yichbe, that he comes from a family where a lot of people have had epilepsy, and he's worried that he's going to have a seizure, so he can wear this this kameya to prevent him from having a seizure. So Vaitu in the Gemara, v'kosher matir afilu b'rishus harabim, and you could tie it and untie it even in rishus harabim. Ubelvach liyiksherenu b'shiru b'tabas. As long as you don't tie it onto any rings or bracelets, you don't tie the kameya onto anything like that. V'yetzibo b'rishus harabim mishum marasayin, and then walk out with it in rishus harabim because that's going to be marasayin. Why is that marasayin if you tie it onto jewelry? So Rashi explains the lo mechzi kaman de bayle l'rufua el l'takshut, because once you tie it onto jewelry, it looks like you're wearing it as a takshit. The only thing is, halachically, v'lav takshitu. It doesn't count as a takshit, ela machmas dagas choli. It's only something you're allowed to wear for illness, for the sake of illness. It doesn't count as a takshit. So if people think you're wearing it as a takshit, they're going to think that this counts as a takshit and it's okay. It's not okay to wear as a takshit. So, wait a second. We have a brisa that contradicts the brisa that we just quoted. At the beginning of the brisa that we just quoted, we said that what makes something a kameya mumcha, that you used it once and then twice and then a third time, ripa vishana vishilesh, 3 times. Sounds like used it 3 times could even be the same person used it 3 times. Yet we have another brisa that kol sharipa gimel b'nei adam ke'echad, that what makes a kameya mumcha if it cured 3 different people, not 3 times on the same person. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara's kasha. So it says Gemara lo kasha, it's not a stira. Halim chuyi gavra, halim chuyi kameya. It depends what you're trying to prove the expertise of. When it says it needs 3 people, that's because stam gimel b'nei adam have 3 different types of illnesses that are not the same as each other. And if you want to prove that the guy who's writing the kameya is an expert, he needs to be able to prove to cure 3 different types of illnesses. But when we say that as long as the kameya has worked 3 times, on even on the same person, that's talking about one illness. And this kameya was able to be merape 3 times the same illness, either 3 people that have the same illness or 1 guy that had an illness 3 times, and we're trying to prove that the kameya is a kameya mumcha. Not that the gavra, not that the guy who wrote it is a mumcha. It wouldn't prove the guy, because the guy only wrote this one kameya. It happened to work three times. We're trying to prove that the Kameya is a Kameya Mulcha. So that's why the two braises are not a stira. One is about proving that the guy knows what he's doing. The other is about proving that the Kameya is effective. Amrav, it tells us a slightly different understanding, but we'll leave it with Rashi. Amrav Papas. So Papas says as follows. Pshitali tlas kameya l'tlas gavri, tlas l'tlas zimni, id mechi gavri vid mechi kameya. One thing that's very clear is if you have three kameyas written for three different people that work three times each, so you have proven everything. You've proven that the guy is a mumcha, you've proven that the kameya is a mumcha, everything is great, because everything has chazakas all over the place. Tlas kameya l'tlas gavri, if you have three kameyas for three different people, chad chad zimna, but each kameya works for each person just once, meaning I wrote a kameya, I wrote three different kameyas for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and I cure Reuven, Shimon, and the kameya cures Reuven, Shimon, and Levi from an illness once, so gavri itmechi, then I'm proven to be an expert in writing kameyas because I've cured three people with my kameyas. Kameya lo itmechi, but none of those kameyas are proven to be a mumcha because each of those kameyas only worked once. Chad kameya l'tlasa gavri, if I wrote one kameya and it was handed around from Reuven to Shimon to Levi and it cured all three guys, kameya itmechi, then that kameya is proven to be effective because it's cured three people. But gavra lo itmechi, nothing is proven about me because I only wrote one kameya. If I want to have a chazaka, I need to do something three times. By Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, what about the following case though? Tlasa kameya l'chad gavra mai. What if I wrote three kameyas all for one person? He suffered three different illnesses. I wrote him three kameyas, one for each illness, and it worked all three times. Kameya vaday lo itmechi. So certainly none of the kameyas are proven effective because each of the kameyas were only used once. But gavra itmechi lo itmechi. Would you say that I am now proven to be an expert kameya writer because I was able to write three different kameyas that all worked? Or would you say no? Mi amrinan ha'asile. Would you say, well, look, they worked. Odilma mazala dahe gavru hu dekamekabel ksava. Or maybe no, maybe the fact that it's only worked on one person just shows that that guy is particularly receptive to the effectiveness of kameos. But you don't have to even write such good kameos for him. It just works on him. But it does not prove that I'm a mumcha. Says Gemara, teku. We leave it completely unresolved. So what do you do? Are you allowed to walk out with such a kameya on Shabbos written by this guy? Is he proven to be a mumcha or not? So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shinal of Paskins L'chumra, that lo itmechi lo gavra v'lo kameya. In Tshuvas Bar Yitzchak, the Bashar Mitzvah and Balach of your quotes from Tshuvas Bar Yitzchak or Chaim from Tez Zayin, why by a chola sheish b'sakana should he not be able to walk out with such a kameya on Shabbos? If it's a suffix, so suffix b'kwach nefesh. The suffix b'kwach nefesh, we should be making on the case of suffix b'kwach nefesh. So he says, based on what the Rambam writes in the Pirusha Mishnayis in the seventh parak of Yuma, that there's a difference between a refuah that works b'derech skula and a refuah that works b'derech teva. That we only are matir suffix b'makom iser by a skula that works b'derech, by a refuah that works b'derech teva. So a kameh, which is a refuah b'derech skula, we're not even matir b'makom suffix. We're not matir for pikuach nefesh, because it's a better school, I guess, to observe the halacha, that to avoid any violation of the halacha. So ibayilhu kamein yeshva mishum kedusha domeim mishum kedusha. Final discussion of the daf. Do kamein have kedusha or do they not? I mean, you write these psukim, you write shemos in them. So are they considered to have kedusha or not? So the ma'ilchsa legabe, what halacha are we talking about when we ask the shayla? Before we can answer the shayla, we need to know what the shayla is. So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities of what the shayla is. Number one, ile milatzu linu mipnei hadleika. You want to say the shayla is, should we save it from a fire? Tashma brachos vakamei nafli sheish ben osios min yonos harbi shabatora. We have a Beferish Braisa that if the house is burning on Shabbos, you're not supposed to go and save a Kameya, even though it has Psukim and other things written, Shemos maybe written in the Kameya, still you do not save it from a fire. That can't be our Shaila. Ella, second possibility of our Shaila, Le'inyin Geniza. Does it need to be put in Geniza? Does it need to be put in Shemos? Well, Tashma, we have a Braisa about that as well. Hayukasav al Yadus Hakelim al Kiri Amita, Yogur Vignezanu. If you have some Shemos written on Kalim or on Kirei Amita, so you have to cut off that area and put it in Geniza. That was the Shaila that comes up every once in a while, where a teacher is writing something on a board and they accidentally write the Shem Hashem on the board. So what do? You can't erase the board. It has the Shem Hashem on it. So I think Rav Shechter writes in Efsharav, the Rav Salvechik held that they should cut out that part of the board and put it in Geniza. That you have to... La halacha, there are probably other ways to argue in terms of a gram lechika, having the custodian just do it on his own without being instructed. But that's where the elders do. You should cut it off and put it in geniza when it, based on this gemara, when a kli has a shem Hashem, they cut off, put it in geniza. So that can't be the shayla. El likonis lehen bebeis hakisei. Rather, the shayla is, can you go to the bathroom with it? Meaning, can you wear this kameya when you go to the bathroom? So my yesh ben kedusha v'asir or demayim ben kedusha v'shari. So which is it? Does it have kedusha and asir? Therefore, or it doesn't have kedusha and it's mutter. Well, our Mishnah says that if the Kameh was written by a Mumcha, you're allowed to go out with it. But if you're not allowed to go into the bathroom with it, well, then it's going to be a problem. How can you walk out with it on Shabbos? Aren't we worried that you're going to carry a dalat amos from Rishus Rabin? So Gemara has four answers as to why that is not a proof. This is an issue that comes up halacha lemaisa. They make jewelry now, and you can buy in the Old City, and probably other places also, that have psukim all over, a ring, a bracelet that have psukim. So people, or sometimes even the Shem Hashem. So I've been asked this, Shaila, can a girl get such, first of all, is it appropriate to have such jewelry? And second, if you can have such jewelry, can you go into the bathroom with it? So depending on what we say over here, this could have a major implications for that topic. I think in the most recent edition of the Journal of Halakha and Contemporary Society, someone wrote a whole article on that topic, on that type of jewelry. Okay, I think we're out of time, though. So, okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll do the four rejections to this raya.